Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Info Edge India Limited Q2 Results Conference Call. Joining us on the call today from the management are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, and welcome to our second quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company, then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we'll be happy to take questions. Moving on to the financial highlights of this quarter. For the standalone company, net sales in Q2 were rupees 174 crores versus rupees 147 crores in Q2 of last year, an increase of 18%. For Q2, operating EBITDA was at 33 crores, having declined 20% year-on-year, but it is up 40% quarter-on-quarter. Operating EBITDA margin was at 19% versus 28% in Q2 last year, but versus 14% in Q1. This is mainly due to the increased investment in 99acres in advertising, data quality, and product delivery. Marketing spend was up in Jeevansathi as well. This is in line with our long-term strategic goals. However, advertising spends in Q2 were below that of Q1, especially in 99acres. Profit before tax at 48 crores was flat year-on-year and up 17% quarter-on-quarter. PAT was at 34 crores, up 2% on account of higher other income. Operating PAT was at 18 crores, down 24% year-on-year, but up 60% quarter-on-quarter. Operating PAT margin was at 10% versus 16% in Q2 of last year, versus 6% in Q1. Deferred sales revenue has decreased to 175 crores versus rupees 187 crores as of June 30, 2015, but is up 17% versus 147 crores as of September 30, 2014. Year-on-year, other income in Q2 was higher given the larger corpus and income from some FMPs which matured and booking of gains on redemption of funds in the growth options. As of September 30, 2015, about rupees 830 crores was in bank fixed deposits with an average interest rate of around 7.3% pre-tax. Newer FDs may be made or existing, if renewed, would likely to be at lower rates given the general decline in deposit rates. Moving on to business-wise highlights. We'll first cover the recruitment business. Please note that all business-wise numbers that are being given out are as per the segmental reporting, except for the corresponding period in the previous year, which was as basis best estimates. As you're aware, in Q1 of this financial year, we moved to segmental reporting, and the numbers are available in the results as also on infoedge.in. For Q2, recruitment top line grew 20% year-on-year to rupees 128 crores. EBITDA in the recruitment business grew 26% year-on-year to 70.5 crores. EBITDA margin was at 55% versus 52% in Q2 of last year. PBT margins in recruitment were at 53% versus 50% in Q2 of last year. Naukri corporate sales EBITDA margin touched an all-time high of 62%. This, though, is not strictly comparable since certain allocation costs are removed versus last year. Moving on to the operating highlights for Naukri. In Q2, Naukri added an average of 12,800 CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to 44 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 185,000 per day versus 135,000 per day in Q2 of last year. In Q2, we serviced 34,000 unique customers versus 31,000 in Q2 of last financial year. In H1, we serviced 44,000 unique customers versus 40,000 in H1 of last year. Our products like Referral Hiring Manager and CSM, new products like Referral Hiring Manager and CSM continue to do well, and we continue to invest in our product. The Naukri India domestic corporate sales business continues to sort of witness a decent demand pickup. IT markets like Bangalore are growing at 20-25% per annum, while the non-IT markets like Mumbai and Delhi are growing around 15-20%. As the Indian economy accelerates, growth will hopefully pick up in the non-IT sectors as well. Thanks to our gain in traffic share, nearly 70% for last quarter, our successful transition to mobile, 55% of our sessions now, and our growing customer base, and new products like and services like CSM and referral hiring platform and eHire, which are helping us tap into new revenue streams. The Naukri corporate business should do well for the next few years if the economy continues to improve. We maintain that margins should improve in the Naukri business if this were to grow at more than 18-20%. In 99acres, top line grew by, moving on to the 99acres business, in 99acres, top line grew 13% year-on-year in Q2 to 28 crores. The real estate markets continue to be very challenged given the supply glut and lower demand and a lot of unfinished inventory in most markets. EBITDA loss in 99acres this year was 25.5 crores, was 25.5 crores versus 9.5 crores in Q2 of last year. But slightly lesser than Q1, which was 34 crores. In Q2, 99acres made a PBT level loss of rupees 27 crores. Again, down from 36 crores in Q1, but up from 10.5 crores in Q2 of last year. This loss is a result of mainly on account mainly on account of increased investments in our platform product and platform data quality and advertising. While we expect competitive intensity to slightly reduce in this business going forward, we don't expect the market to recover anytime soon. Like I said, the real estate market continues to be very depressed. Demand for new homes, especially in markets like Noida, Gurgaon, Mumbai, and Hyderabad, continues to be very weak. And this, coupled with unfinished projects, is depressing new launches as well. Transactions are down year on year. New launches in many markets are down 50%. And unsold inventory in most cities is at an all-time high. Given current sale rates, we have scaled up our marketing spend substantially in Q1, but have reduced it a bit in Q2, given lower competitive intensity. Having said so, we are well capitalized and continue to be much more capital efficient compared to our competitors in this space. And we continue to see a great opportunity in the market in the long run. In Jeevansathi, net sales grew 16% year-on-year in Q2 to 11 crores. We added an average of 2,455 profiles per day in Q2, an increase of 33% year-on-year. Paid customers were up 31% year-on-year. EBITDA level loss was at rupees 6 crores versus 2 crores in Q2 of last year. And the PBT level loss was at rupees 6.6 crores versus 2.5 crores in Q2 of last year. In Shiksha, net sales grew 13% year-on-year and reached 7 crores. EBITDA loss in Shiksha was at about 1.4 crores and PBT level loss was at about 1.7 crores. Moving on to our strategic investments, our investee companies continue to witness good growth. During Q2, Zomato raised funding in which we did not participate, and as a result, our stake went down to 47% from the earlier 50.1%. Canberra raised a small round of funding from existing investors, and we invested an additional 8 crores in Canberra as a result. And as a result, our stake is now around 38%. We made a new investment of rupees 6.4 crores in a business called BigStylist.com for a 25% stake. It's an early-stage company which is looking to aggregate beauticians. Total amount invested in investing companies till September 30, 2015 is now at 775 crores. In October, we transferred the balance shareholding we held in Policy Bazaar to our subsidiary Make Sense. Thereby, Make Sense held the entire approximately 18% of the stake in Policy Bazaar. Temasek invested a total of about 134 crores towards a 49.99% stake in Make Sense, which includes rupees 31 crores as a primary in Policy Bazaar. Thereby, Make Sense ended up holding about a total of about 20% of Policy Bazaar. Given that we own half of Make Sense, InfoEdge's economic interest is now therefore at about 10% of Policy Bazaar. This transaction was announced to the stock exchanges via an announcement dated 30th of October 2015. Additional funding by investee companies may be required from time to time, and we will evaluate each one on its own merit. And we continue to evaluate new investment opportunities as well. To summarize, our competitive position in Naukri continues to be strong, driven by improvement in product and continued focus on client needs. We will continue to invest more in this business, primarily in product development, to help strengthen our leadership position. As the economy gets better, we expect the non-IT markets to recover as well. The underlying real estate market continues to be in a slump in most cities. The competitive intensity has changed a bit, but the existing players are expected to continue to sort of invest more in the business. We remain committed to this market and will continue to invest more for the long run, in line with our strategic objectives. Our mobile properties, both the mobile sites and the mobile apps, continue to witness significant traction and are growing month on month. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sachin Salgaonkar from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. First question is, you know, on real estate 99 acres. You did mention that the competitive intensity is low. Just wanted to, you know, understand how we should look at the margin outlook going forward. Now, clearly there was an improvement in margin, I guess, because of lower investments into marketing. Is that a trend which might continue because competitive intensity remains low and plus the market is a bit depressed?
You know, competitive intensity has come down a bit, but it's, you know, the existing sort of players like Magic Bricks and us are still investing because we see a long-term opportunity in the business. It's down compared to last quarter, but it's up significantly still compared to last year. And this is in a market which is depressed. What will happen to margins going forward will depend on how fast demand for real estate picks up, one, because there's a certain cost that we have to incur, irrespective of whether there is demand for real estate or not. And two, you know, what happens to competition. So thankfully, we're not seeing the kind of crazy spending we were seeing earlier from some of the startups in the space. But, you know, if they get capitalized once again and they become aggressive, who knows?
Okay. And, you know, clearly you had raised a lot of amount through QIP, you know, last year. By the looks of it, not all could be utilized the way things are going on. So any intention what you would do with the remaining cash?
So when we raised the money last time, we had said that we want to create a war chest for 99 acres, given the competitive intensity in the space at that time. You know, we continue to sort of hold the same point of view. We have invested only a small sum of money out of the money we had sort of raised at that time. But like I said, you know, the real estate game is not over. There is still a long way to go. You know, the existing players continue to invest. There could be opportunities to acquire companies going forward. There could be opportunities to consolidate. Our competition could get funded once again and they may start investing again. Who knows? So, you know, we are sort of, while we are bullish on 99 acres, we are not sure whether, you know, the period of the high competition is over. And like I said, you know, we have to, demand is still very, very tepid. So unless demand picks up, you know, our margins may not improve in the short run. And we'll have to continue to invest.
Yeah. I'll add to that, Sanjeev here. You know, when we had raised the money, what we had told the market and investors is that, look, this money will be used if required for 99 acres, and therefore probably for the next two and a half years, we'll not be willing to touch it for anything else, probably. Our position remains the same, that, look, it's just been a year since we did the QIP, and things are not clear about, you know, as to where exactly the real estate market is headed, in terms of, as they said, in terms of competitiveness, so we'll probably hang on to it for a while, and then decide.
Okay, Sanjeev, this is clear. Second question is, you know, you did not participate into Zomato last round. Any thoughts of monetizing Zomato in future, given that it's been a great investment for you and clearly the valuation is moving up? So thoughts on that?
Look, I think Zomato is now sort of shifted gear and has moved into focusing more on, you know, revenue growth and possible, you know, break even sometime in the foreseeable future. And it would probably make sense for us to sort of hang on in there. It's not as if we're getting offers in any case. And therefore, we don't expect much movement in that space for a while.
Okay, got it. And my last question is on, the jobs market outlook. Now, in the opening remark, Hitesh did mention that if indeed economy improves, things would improve. But if indeed GDP growth remains at these level or if there is a bit of a slowdown, do you see an impact on the jobs outlook and in particular on your revenues?
Yeah, we've been saying that if the GDP growth rate picks up, our growth rate could improve. But there are two risk factors, of course. Like, one is, of course, IT. And IT is not really indexed to Indian GDP growth. It's more indexed to what happens in the global economy. If IT growth slows down, then our business growth could get impacted. And two, yes, if the Indian economy slows down, even though, we have 70% share and we continue to be leaders, if companies cut down on hiring, it is bound to have some impact on our business.
Okay. But as of now, you're comfortable with the current 19-odd% growth, which we showed for last couple of quarters?
Yeah, so 18-20% is what we are comfortable with right now, but it's hard work to get this growth.
Okay, got it. That's all for me. All the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Muthangi from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I had two questions. My first one is on the collections growth during the quarter. It's about 14.4%. I wanted to check because last quarter, the collections growth had a specific impact because of the sales tax issue. And so one would have expected this quarter to accelerate a bit just because, last quarter was abnormally weak. But it did not accelerate. So I just wanted to pick your brains on whether there is any slowdown that you're seeing on the Naukri side or an additional slowdown on the 99 acre side of the business that has resulted in this.
Yeah, so, according to us, our collection growth is around 16% for the company as a whole. And, of course, like I mentioned, the 99 acres business has actually grown at slower than 16%. So, Naukri sort of has been growing in that 18-20% range. And, like I said, it's hard work getting 18% growth in Naukri. But right now, we are hopeful that we can sustain this growth.
Right. Is it fair to understand that there has been no slowdown in the collections growth in Naukri at least?
Well, like I mentioned to you, last time collection growth was low because there was a lot of sales, collections got pulled into Q4, right? So compared to Q4, there is a slowdown. Compared to Q1, there is a pickup. So I don't know. But in general, our feeling is that the market is like it was one quarter back or two quarters back. In fact, the IT segment has slowed down a little bit and the non-IT market has picked up a little. But on the whole, where we were maybe one or two quarters ago.
Right.
Not much
okay.
has changed.
On the yeah, level. Got it. And on the 99 acre side of the business, you've clearly told the market shares and the competitive positioning in Naukri. Can you share a similar statistic about 99 acres, the slowdown that you're seeing, the tepid market? Is it because of your exposure to NCR or all the competitors witnessing a similar kind of slowdown and any numbers on the traffic share that you've been seeing over the past couple of months?
Yeah, so this has been a very sort of, there have been lots of ups and downs here in the real estate space. In the first half or in the first quarter, we saw a lot of activity because the startups in the space were aggressive. Housing and common floor and then Magic Bricks was also aggressive for a while. Then we were forced to react and we sort of upped our spending in the space. So the market shares went up and down for a while. But if you look at what has happened in the last 3 months and like right now the scene is a little more stable, we have been averaging as per ComScore about between 35-40%. While Magic Bricks as per us is, and as per ComScore, is down to about 21-22% for the last 2 or 3 months. Having said so, 6 months ago, we were probably at 27-28% and, Magic Bricks was at 33-34%. But we are now back to sort of being 50-60% bigger than Magic Bricks on traffic share, which was our position till maybe a few months ago. But like I said, it's a tough market. Growth is hard to get. At least quality growth is hard to get. You can still get growth. Revenue is not a challenge. You can get revenue by doing a lot of things. But quality revenue, which will sustain and which will scale, is not easy to get. The shares do change a bit depending on who's advertising, who's not.
Right. Thanks so much. That's all for me. All the best for the year ahead.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just have a few questions. Firstly, if you could just let us know what where was the money spent. Your cash balances have shown a dip quarter on quarter. That was one first question. The second one was on the deferred revenue. While Hitesh has mentioned, you know, that it's remained at 17% and you know, Naukri probably is doing better. But you know, if you see last 5-6 quarters, you know, the growth was averaging around 20-22%, and now it has gone down to 17%. So is there something more to it rather than just the slowdown in property? Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Chintan here. So on cash, you know, the Q1, you know, we have seen that the investment that we have done in Zomato, plus we have done the investment in Merit Nation. So these are the larger chunks which would have resulted in cash balance going down. Similarly, in Q2, we have done 2-3 investments that, you know, it is kind of just narrated, you know, in his initial commentary. So all taken together, I think it's because of the investments that we have made. Yeah, of course, and then cash burn in 99 acres, you know, have gone up, right? So overall operational cash, you know, in that sense has come down.
Sure.
Directly.
So deferred revenue is up 70% year on year.
Typically in Q2 it dips.
Typically, you know, it dips in Q2 because we collect a lot of money in Q4, which sort of reflects on our gets reflected on our balance sheet. And see, like I said, Naukri is growing at about 17-18% per annum in collections. If collection growth slows down, then of course deferred revenue could dip. But if collection growth picks up, deferred revenue could pick up from here on. But so far, 15-18% partly it also gets impacted by what happens in 99 acres. So, you know, but traditionally Q2 is lower than Q1, but year on year we are still up 70%.
Just a couple of more questions. Firstly, on property, you know, while you know, housing obviously is sort of restructuring, but you know, there have been news of Common Floor in talks with Quikr, you know, again changing hands into a stronger player, and I believe Quikr has identified property as one of the key segments. So how much risk do you would attach of competitive intensity going back to where it was, say, in Feb, March, April? You know, what probability will you attach to it?
See, I don't know. I think the Quikr Common Floor deal is not done as yet. From what I heard, I mean, maybe it's almost done, but I don't think it's done as yet. And the truth is that, you know, between housing and Common Floor, the companies have burned about $160-170 million over the last 2 years and not made much headway. Quikr also, my sense is they've already spent $200-250 million. And I guess the reason some of these things are happening is because these companies are still challenged on revenue growth. And now they're looking at sort of new sort of segments to grow in. Will competitive intensity increase if Common Floor merges with Quikr? I don't know. It depends on what Quikr strategy going forward is going to be. If they're going to focus on Quikr homes, it could be one strategy. If they want to focus on Common Floor, it could be another strategy. So time will tell. I mean, it's hard for me to predict what they are thinking. They're looking at, they publicly said they're looking at three categories: jobs, real estate, cars, to grow their business. So time will tell. You know, we are prepared, we are invest, we continue to invest in our business, and we will react depending on what happens to competition.
Just last question for Sanjeev on Zomato. Now, Sanjeev, while you know, you had mentioned that, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, on subsequent funding rounds you may not participate in Zomato. But, you know, I thought that if the funding was of a substantial amount, then that is when, you know, you would choose to sort of let go of some stake in Zomato. But last funding was only of $60 million. So, you know, any views on that? And obviously, you know, we're also, you know, hearing murmurs on, you know, maybe things not all well at Zomato. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So listen, if you were to retain a 50 plus share in a $60 million round, we'd be putting in 30 million. 30 million is 200 crores. Yeah, according to us, it's serious money, right? And, you know, if more and more funding is required and we want to maintain 50%, you know, this 200 crores each time will add up, right? And therefore, we took a call that, look, quite reluctantly, that, you know, Zomato you know, has got perhaps too big for a balance sheet, which is a good problem to have, because the company is succeeding and doing well, and it is because of its success that, you know, we are unable to hang on to majority, and quite reluctantly we sort of agreed to, you know, internally to slip below 50%, and that's our position. Now, as far as, you know, things not being well in Zomato, you know, I think Zomato was very quick to recognize, you know, beginning August, September, that, look, there are changes in the environment and therefore strategy has to change. And the new strategy is to perhaps deprioritize land grab so much and very quickly, you know, focus on revenue growth, get it back to where it was, and the growth that is, that it's, you know, growing, moving to 3x, you know, over the previous year, you know, every year, and very rapidly cut the burn and move to break even sometime in the foreseeable future, which, you know, until about 6 months ago, Zomato management would say, yeah, it's, you know, as long as funding is available, we can sort of go for traffic share and land grab in more and more markets. And you know, to be fair to Zomato, I think it's in 23 countries, it's traffic leader in 18 of them. There are very clear monetization opportunities wherever it's traffic leader, and that's what it's going after right now. So I would say, yes, the company has sort of implemented a right-sizing, and the dust will settle, and I think hopefully in 3-4 months you'll see that the revenue has, you know, moved up, relatively moved up, and it's well on its way to implementing its plans. So we're not unduly concerned about Zomato's prospects in the medium to long term.
Sanjeev, just one question. Since you mentioned the change in strategy, that was on account of slowdown in the funding, or that was in something related to the market in general?
No, well, you see, to actually go for, to continue to pursue the earlier strategy of aggressive land grab in markets around the world, entering new markets, acquiring new companies, investing in the U.S., all those things, they were going to require a lot more capital than we believed may feasibly be available in the next few months in the current funding environment. And therefore, you know, if you are to move towards break-even with current funding, you will have to focus on revenue growth.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question.
But having said that, let me add that Zomato is very well funded. It has got a significant chunk of the last round of funding, almost all of it, in fact, still in the bank. And that's reassuring.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks to for the opportunity to ask questions. I have a couple of little confused questions, and I hope Sanjeev will bear with me. Sir, I just want to know, if you see our Naukri business, which is our core business, that is, had been doing quite well. Obviously, it is related to economy to some extent, and we understand that part of the business. Now, other than that, we have three moving parts, which are 99acres, Jeevan Sathi, and Siksha, and additionally, we have investee companies. Now, this has made the variables too much, and it has not happened in this quarter, but it has been there for some time. So, if you see what we are now seeing, that, you know, the other businesses, because they are not yet established, obviously the opportunities are quite big, and we understand that things will move to internet at some point of time, and we have to stay in the market till that time. But this, so many moving parts keep on our profits from the core business are being dragged down. If you see the averages which were there earlier, couple of quarters back, those averages have started coming down on the profit levels. So what is your sense? Where will this war end? Because this war is not triggered or played by you. You are just reacting to the war. So how do you see this thing happening? Because core business, even if it grows 18%, 20%, profitable, more profitable, those things will not matter even if you make 5-7 crores there extra. But if you are going to spend money on advertising and promotion to retain your own turf on the three verticals which are there, and additionally investee companies, how they perform, that will also impact at some point of time your financials. So how do you see the overall business? Because one business is absolutely good and it is generating some money every quarter, but the other businesses, we are kind of in a reactive situation, and the people who are there, they are probably, they can burn more money for more time than, you know, we can actually expect, or they could be irrational for a long period.
You know,
we've seen this movie before. It happened in Naukri in 2004, 2005, at the peak of competition in the job segment. Our traffic share in Naukri was down to 43%, while the number two player was at 32% and growing. And then, we executed well on product, on sales, on engineering. And yes, we also spent on marketing. Equally importantly, that when the meltdown came in 2007-8, we continued to invest, while our competitors, withheld investments. I think this is you build a business over 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you establish leadership over that time. You do it by innovation, you do it by good execution on all fronts, including sales, including product, and engineering, everything, marketing. Hopefully you come out on top. Now, having done that in Naukri, having seen it play out that way, we are reasonably confident that, look, we have what it takes to occupy pole position and be number one. So we're already number one in real estate, but retaining that position, consolidating it, increasing share, we believe we can do it. We believe we invested behind good entrepreneurs, in Zomato, Merrick Nation, Policy Bazaar, Maidala, Canberra, everywhere else. And we believe many of them, if not all, will end up building successful companies. It's a question of staying the course and executing well. So let's see how it plays out.
Thank you, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Firstly, what will be the accounting treatment for Zomato this year? Because now it's gone below 50%.
So, on a fully converted basis, yes, it has gone down 50%. But if you, just see the equity that we hold, we are still 56% in terms of equity. Now, I know there is some bit of confusion on the accounting treatments and how the associates and subsidiaries are being defined. But in our understanding, based on, I think, a circular which came about a month back, is that if you are holding 56% equity in Zomato, you will be required to consolidate.
Okay.
So 56% is common stock, the rest is pref stock, the other investors have pref stock, and so that's why.
Yeah, so 47% is on fully converted basis, but the equity holding that we have is 56%.
Right. And I remember at an earlier point you had talked about, transferring some of these holdings into subsidiaries and probably raising money in the subsidiaries so that, overall you don't go below 50%. Just wondering if at all that option was considered, taking the decision on Zomato.
No, that option was not considered for Zomato. It was executed in Policy Bazaar. What we had said is, look, it gives you the option of doing that should you want it in the future. But we did not really pursue that for Zomato.
So we created a framework for that, right? But that's not we persuaded, when this round was happening. Because as a company, whether you call it as an InfoEdge or as a subsidiary, the total amount of money that's available would remain the same. So the consideration was more about the size of the fund and the size of the balance sheet, the way Sanjeev explained earlier. I think that was more relevant, and which entity to use and what framework to use was not there for consideration.
Okay, and you were not open to raising money in a subsidiary to sort of fund that. That was not something that...
We have created a framework that does give us flexibility in future, but right now that's not the option that we have considered.
Right. And could you just give us some of the, mobile usage data for the three core businesses and even Zomato if you have that?
So like I sort of mentioned, in Naukri, mobile traffic is now at 55% of total traffic. In 99 Acres, we are at about 45%. And in Jeevan Sathi, we are at about 65-66%. I don't have the numbers of Zomato right now.
Zomato is definitely over 50%, but it varies by market because there are markets where its app is popular and markets where its app is less popular. There's a call on Zomato on Monday the 9th. These are detailed questions we can answer then, which Deepinder can answer.
Sure. And lastly, if you could share a little more information on Big Stylus. What was the thinking behind the investment, what the company does in a little more detail?
So Big Stylist is a company which has been founded by by three alumni of IIT Kharagpur, of whom one went to IIM Bangalore and one went to IIM Ahmedabad subsequently. Essentially they are in the beauty services at home business. They are aggregating freelance beauticians and booking orders for beauty treatment at home. It's early days, but they've seen some decent traction. We like the team a lot. We felt the space had potential. You could expand afterwards to other services at home as well. So far so good. So let's see what happens.
And you mentioned 6.8 crores for 25%, right?
6.3.
Okay. And were there any other investors in this round? Or?
Sorry, 6.4 crores.
Okay. And were there any other investors in this round, or were you the...
We are the only investors.
Okay. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Sharma from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have just a couple of questions. First, on the job portal side, so what are the various product developments you're working on from a 12-month perspective? What kind of investments you see? And in the 2-3 years time frame, where do you see, what kind of total solutions will the job market, will the job portals will be supposed to be doing? Beyond listing, what are the incremental capabilities you see you will require over the next 2-3 years? Similarly, on the real estate side, do you think this whole listing business will have to change to transaction business? Lawyer support, legal support, and full transaction versus just listing. So these are the two questions on your product side, on the real estate and the job side.
See, on the job side, we have for a long time we had listings, we had a database access service, we had branding solutions on our platform which we sell to companies. Over the last 2-3 years, we've made substantial effort and put in a lot of money and investment into developing some new products. Like I mentioned, the mobile platform we have, which did not exist 2.5 years ago, 55% of our traffic is now on mobile. We've done a lot of work in that space. We've also improved our desktop experience substantially over the same period of time. We have invested in solutions beyond listings and database access as well. We had acquired two companies some time back, one in the area of semantic search, so that has been used to improve our technology, search and matching technology, which is core to our platform. Then, of course, we invested in, we've launched a product to power corporate career sites. This gives us the opportunity to power all the corporate career sites in this country. We already have more than 1,500 customers for this product. Not only revenue, but it is strategically important that we power these sites. We get to look at the jobs first if we do a good job with this. We've also launched a referral hiring manager, or referral hiring portal, for which we have a few hundred customers, again, to help companies, to IT enable their referral hiring efforts. A lot of work to be done in these areas. We continue to work and develop these products going forward. We also launched an applicant. We had a very basic version of the applicant, of an applicant tracking system. We've improved that and launched a more advanced version. Again, this is an area of investment for us. We continue to focus on this. We've launched some basic campus hiring solutions and campus hiring products for companies. Very small business for us today, but we continue to do work in that area. To answer your question, we know that companies use various ways to hire, and Naukri is just one of them, and the database and listing products are the ones that are popular today. But we need to be there at every point where hiring happens, or in all parts of the chain. We also launched a service to help companies shortlist and screen resumes called eHire that has worked well for some companies. So long term, we see us working and developing products in each of these areas and continuously improving upon them. In real estate, our sense is the market is still very early. Real estate sites are still figuring out how to capitalize on what is out there. It's too early to develop many products, these products or that market. The market is still evolving. Customers are not sure how to use online. They are still getting their act together. The market is also in very bad shape. I think our investments will continue to be in the area of data quality, and mobile. We are also developing a differentiated platform for new homes, which was not the case till 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had only one platform for both resale and new homes. Now we have a differentiated platform for resale and new homes. Over time, we'll add other features, but I think for the foreseeable future, we are investing aggressively in data quality and verification of listings. So these are the things that I think we will continue to invest in for a while. But maybe 2 years from now, there could be an opportunity to do other things. I mean, there is no shortage of ideas. There is no shortage of resources if you want to invest. But we think the market, this is what the market will sort of need over the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's very helpful. But just on the job side, do you think, this whole startup ecosystem is, on an aggregated basis trying to get into some niche segments, and that could mean either that it causes disruption to you in 18 months or you will have to consolidate something in 18 months?
We see the startups as an opportunity because, you see, there is so much to be done and we can't do it all ourselves. Unfortunately, what is happening is that none of the startups have become very big. And we've looked at many of them for acquisition or investment. But there's nobody who's doing, they've developed some nifty products, they're doing some sort of cool stuff. But nobody's been able to monetize aggressively as yet. So we are in touch with many of them. We are in constant sort of contact. We continue to evaluate what they're doing and we continue to learn from them. And if the opportunity comes and there's something attractive, we will sort of invest or buy them out as well. But so far, nobody's become very big, or looks like it's going to become very big, very soon at least.
And if on the real estate, if the market moves to complete transaction, will you participate or you will stay away?
So I don't think the market will move to 100% transaction. The truth is that 3,000 crores was being spent on print advertising. And there's no transaction there happening. Nobody's being paid for transaction. There's money being spent on Google by real estate companies, and Google does not charge on a transaction basis. Does not even charge on a lead basis. They charge per click. So I don't think the market will suddenly sort of shift to transaction. The market has been operating in a certain way. People sort of go to brokers if they want to pay on a transaction basis. There's a market for broking. There's a market for advertising. The market for advertising may have taken a beating, just like the market for broking has, because transactions have gone down and builders are in deep trouble. But, once the real estate market starts to recover, I think both the market for broking and the market for advertising will recover. Now, as far as we are concerned, whether we will get into broking or not, time will tell. It'll depend on our strategy. It'll depend on how the market evolves. It depends on what we want to do. But these two markets will continue to coexist.
Okay, that's very helpful. If I can just chip in one small last question. Are you seeing maximum traction in the 1 to 5 year of the job market, or you started seeing in the senior level too? Like, if you can give a YOY sense of this, what percentage of, has it changed over the last 3 years? That would be, very helpful.
I don't have this data available with me offhand. See, we operate in all segments, and a lot of the hiring on the portal is for people with 2 to 8 years experience. And while there is a lot of sort of demand in the junior categories because there are just many more jobs out there, it's not as if the mid-level positions are also easy to fill. So on our site, you will see listings across levels, across geographies, across industries. It's going to be difficult for me to give you the data and how it's moved over the last 3 years right now.
Okay, very helpful. All the best for coming quarters. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miten Lathia from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening. The traffic share data is ComScore, which I presume is only the desktop data, is it? Or have you aggregated for the mobile as well?
The ComScore is right now mostly desktop. Okay, they haven't started reporting mobile traffic. And I don't think they can report app traffic very easily. So the data sort of, or the share that we are reporting is desktop share.
It's non-mobile. But when, half or thereabouts of our total traffic is coming on the mobile. How can we sort of get comfort around the fact that the traffic share indeed on an aggregate basis, including mobile, would be similar to that which is on the desktop?
Yeah, Mithyan, this is state of the art. I mean, we have to live with it now. Okay, until somebody comes out with a third party sort of measure of app traffic. And, you can measure app download, but how do you measure app usage? This is kind of hard. So if it was easy, somebody done by now. But maybe a solution will emerge over time. But, up to then, we can only assume that, that mobile, that app traffic more or less will move in the same proportion as web traffic.
Sure. So do we have sort of a reason to believe or otherwise that our traffic share on 99acres is trending differently from our revenue share on the 99acres business?
So it depends on what you define as revenue. So if you're referring to the to Magic Bricks, see, my sense is that it is easy to generate revenue in real estate. Okay, so one, of course, does revenue mean collections? That's a big question. Second question is, is the revenue pass through revenue or is it revenue from your platform? That's another big question. Third question, of course, is whether there's combo revenue. I mean, are you selling something else? And sort of, for example, there are many people who do events, many people do festivals and so on. And, that revenue is not necessarily online revenue. So it depends. And then fourthly, of course, you could do transactions, you could do various other things to you could do barters, you could do combo deals and generate revenue as well. So I don't think, if anything, my sense is that our revenue may be ahead of our traffic share, given the fact that some companies, some startups with good traffic or reasonable traffic have not been able to monetize well.
And on the segmental breakup that you've given, we noticed that the loss from others, which is non-99acres, non-Naukri business, has expanded. I presume this is Jeevansathi, or is that something else?
No, this is mostly on account of Jeevansathi. Jeevansathi lost last quarter, or in Q2 was about 6.5 crores, up from 2 crores last year. Basically, strategically, we sort of invested a little more in this business. We got volumes going. So our paid customers were up 31% compared to Q2 of last year. And our profiles also went up by about 33%.
Why were we expanded losses on Jeevansathi? Our revenues actually took a dip. Any reason, or is it just seasonality?
No, revenue did not take a dip. Our revenue grew by 16% in Jeevansathi to 11 crores. And our paid customer base grew by 31%.
So the aggregate of all others is showing a dip on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So maybe Shiksha is the culprit there.
Yeah. See, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, please do not look at these sort of, because there is an element of seasonality, especially in the Shiksha business. So I think what you should do is look at the revenue growth year-on-year in all our businesses, in fact.
And so is there a sort of strategy change on Jeevansathi, in the sense that we noticed that at least the average realization per paying customer seems to be coming off? So, I mean, is there something that we're doing to the product or the pricing that is very different from what we were doing in the past?
Yeah, so, we've said earlier that we're experimenting with a few things. We upped the marketing spend a little bit. We are aggressive on mobile. We are playing around with pricing. To see sort of if there's something that we can do to make our business healthier in the long run. This may mean short-term losses, but this is not something that I can say with surety that this is what we will do every quarter, because it's like I said, we are experimenting.
Given that we've sort of now started averaging between 35% and 40% traffic share on 99acres, would it sort of make sense to really step up investment and really go to that 50 plus level so that we don't have to face the same situation that we were in maybe 6 months ago, or sort of cement ourselves fully, or you think that'll be a gradual process?
I think it'll be a gradual process, because while we can technically for a short period of time get our share to 50% by investing aggressively in marketing, we've realized that this traffic does not hold after a while, unless and until the basic product improves So we will continue to invest aggressively in data quality. We will continue to invest aggressively in our operations. We will continue to invest aggressively in product delivery and product quality. You know, we don't want to invest aggressively in marketing, but if competition does so, we will be forced to respond. But I think, you know, if you cannot sort of you know, overnight move from 35 to 40 or 35-37% share to 50% share on the back of some of the things I mentioned. Yes, marketing, yes, but then that is not sustainable. And it's expensive. And so our preference would be to invest in product and in data and in the user experience. But yes, if competition is aggressive on marketing, we'd be forced to respond.
Great. Wish you all the best. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions related to the advertising spend. So over the last three quarters, from 22 crores to 46 crores and down to 37, so the volatility obviously has increased while it still remains reactive to the competitive intensity. So what I wanted to know was, firstly, should there be any kind of a base that we should consider which would be more proactive in the form of advertising spend from your end, and then there is an additional discretionary element that comes into it over and above that, which responds to the way the competition is acting on the ground? And secondly, based on the near-term visibility, like you said, you are now spending a little more on Jeevansathi and you are seeing the competitive intensity coming down in 99 acres. Should this 37 crores number in the foreseeable future, maybe a couple of quarters, kind of rationalize a bit further, or do you see that go up in the near future?
See, base marketing expenditure, maybe you can look at our number for last year and think of that as a base. You're right, competitive intensity has gone down, but it's gone down for like one quarter. So, you know, we had serious competition until three months back. So I don't know what's going to happen going forward. Like I said, if competition gets capitalized once again and become aggressive, somebody mentioned quicker, if quicker becomes very aggressive, what will you do? So, you know, these things will play out over the next few quarters. I can't predict what's going to happen. But yes, ideally, we would like to be, you know, grow our marketing expenditure at 10% year-on-year and not 100% or 50% year-on-year.
Right. And secondly, just wanted to pick your thoughts on, you know, would you, you know, or could you ever be possibly looking at roping in another investor in one of these companies like 99acres if it continues to grow very big and, you know, we don't know about the competitive intensity maybe 2 years down the line, but if it continues to, you know, keep guzzling the cash, then how would you think about having another investor on board and probably reducing your stake to a vast majority but not necessarily 100%?
So, you know, we raised about $100 million sometime back via QIP for ostensibly for investment in 99acres, and we spent only maybe about $10 million out of the money we raised, not even that much. So if, you know, I don't think there's a problem with capital. We have enough capital. And I think we also know what has to be done, and we are working hard at it. Yes, I mean, if things go out of control, if something crazy happens in the market tomorrow, who knows? But so far, our plan is that we will continue to work, you know, invest aggressively in 99acres business, and we are well capitalized to do so. And we don't want any other investor in the business.
Sure. Got it. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Viju George from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Have you decided whether you wanted to, you know, how strong are you committed to certain businesses where the payoff has not happened as per expectation? You know, maybe Jeevansathi or any other smaller businesses. You know, because I guess, you know, the time for taking such calls may be around the corner. So how are you looking at that kind of difficult decision making? Thank you.
See, the only business which has where we are not in a leadership position today is Jeevansathi. And here also we think we are a strong sort of number two player in the north of the country. And, you know, we're experimenting, and it's not as if Jeevansathi is losing a lot of money. Till last year, our total losses in Jeevansathi were less than $10 million, which is what many startups burn in a month. So you know, and we think we have a few ideas, and we want to experiment with those ideas before sort of we say, look, we are done, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know what how this business will grow going forward. And actually, we've received a good response in the last quarter. Our volumes are up 31% after a long time. So I think we will continue to experiment for a while, and this, these experiments, while, of course, you know, we will lose some money, it's not as if we will burn a lot of money. And if something good comes out of these experiments, then we'll think of how to scale up the business. So that's where we are as far as Jeevansathi is concerned. In Shiksha, we're a market leader. Of course, a small business, but we're not losing money. I mean, it's a leader. 99 Acres is in a very different position. You know, we're a leader, but long-term, we see great prospects. Naukri, sort of 60% EBITDA margin in the corporate sales business, on the corporate sales side, 55% EBITDA margin overall, so we don't have to worry. As far as investing companies go, still very early days, most of them are well capitalized, you know, and we are sort of happy with some, with how some of them are doing. And we've got other investors in those companies already, in many of those companies already.
Sure. I'm particularly talking with respect to Allshake deals, Bridge, Shiksha, etc. You just mentioned Shiksha as a category where you're the leader, but the market is not probably as big as you hope for. So the question is, what do you do in such a case, you know, where you're already a leader? Do you just wait for the market to explode, or you just stay invested hoping the market explodes?
See, in Allshake deals, as far as Allshake deals and Bridge go, we almost wound down those businesses. So we're not really investing in those businesses anymore.
Yeah.
As far as Shiksha, Shiksha is doing really well. So, you know, we see actually the learning part of our business, we see as a big opportunity. So Shiksha is sort of helping students decide on colleges and courses. In Naukri also, we are doing some experiments with trying to sell courses online. So we are actually very bullish on education as a category, both degree education and short-term education. And we think we are actually uniquely positioned, given our position in Naukri, to sort of capitalize on this opportunity. And these are while they may not be very, very big markets, they're not small markets. And you know, we're not losing money. And our business is growing at a healthy rate. And if we crack one or two things, you know, we could sort of build decent businesses, a decent business in the education category on both Naukri and in Shiksha. So I see no reason why we should sort of get out of these businesses or cut down our investment in these businesses.
Sure. Maybe, you know, looking back in time, I think a few years back, you know, 19 Acres was thought of as the next big Naukri, you know, if you will. But somehow that hasn't panned out. You know, any big, option value that is there, you know, which can get too close, as close as the core business, you know, which obviously has been a winner, but we're still looking for some of the other winners, despite continued investments. Anything else that you think can be really very big for the next 3 to 4 years?
Sanjeev here. Look, for 99 Acres to be big and profitable, you know, 3 or 4 things need to happen. One is, of course, the real estate market. If the real estate market recovers, it will really help a lot. Two is, a lot will depend on how well we innovate and launch and execute in that area, and therefore improve product and therefore create solutions that really work for our clients, that even in a depressed market, you can sort of gain revenue. And three is obviously, you know, how we're doing relative to competition of the traffic share. Now, if we were in Naukri's traffic share situation of 70%, I'm pretty sure it'll be very big business. So it's not as if it's not going to be big. It's a question of a few things falling into place.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Pahwa from Medianama. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Sanjeev, I was just wondering that given the situation with Yelp, where it's gone from a $7 billion valuation to $1.6 billion, and this is with a top line of about $377 million, where do you see the future for Zomato, and would you take an opportunity to cash out of it?
So, you know, Monster's market cap is, I think, $500 or $600 million. Its revenue is $700 million. You know, Naukri revenue is, I think, 100 million or under. And InfoEdge revenue is 110, 120 million, maybe 130 million. And our market cap is 1.4 billion. So I would not be overly fussed by that. It's a question of trajectory, growth, what the future potential is, not just in terms of geographies, how many countries traffic leader in, what are the businesses expanding into, and how well they're executing. So I think, I think the Zomato valuation could diverge from Yelp if its execution is good. As far as exiting Zomato is concerned, look, we believe the business has got a great future. We believe we will support the entrepreneur in whatever he wants to do going forward, and therefore we are not in any hurry to exit.
Okay. Also, just was curious about what do you see the impact of the Matrimony.com IPO? They're looking to raise about 350 crores, from what I understand. So, how do you see the market dynamics changing? And again, would you exit Jeevan Sathi or sell it to them if you had an offer?
You know, we are a number three player in that space. We are a very small sort of player. I think maybe Shadi should be worrying about the Bharat Matrimony IPO and not us. And in any case, the IPO is still a long time away. I mean, I don't think we were sort of started the road shows with it. I don't know. I don't think we can do anything about the IPO. We can work on our product and on our platform. And like I said, you know, we are seeing reasonable growth, you know, after a while. That means we must be doing something well. We are not burning a lot of cash. So we will continue to sort of do what we are doing. If an IPO happens, great.
Okay. Just in terms of the funding environment.
If an IPO happens, Nikhil, and they get some reasonable market cap out of it, then maybe investors also start valuing Jeevan Sathi in our market cap. Just kidding.
So, just in terms of the funding environment in the market, do you see any change in trajectory in terms of interest in investments in the environment, and therefore, do you see any value in the market if valuations go down?
Look, typically we enter our companies Series A, pre-Series A, or give them Series A when actually they should be, other people only offer them angel rounds. And therefore, at that end of the market, the valuations were never too high, right? It is more in Series B, C, and D, once the company begins to work, that valuations went high. And, you know, our strategy evolved from the point where initially we were sort of saying that we'd like to be the only investor in a company for a long, long time, if it's doing well. But, you know, as the funding needs of companies went up because of more and more money coming into India, we sort of modified that, and we said we are happy to co-invest in Series B with other companies, especially in companies where we've done Series A. So we're happy to allow other investors in. And so I think, while we have done a couple of Series A deals, in the last 6-8 months, we'd be happy to look at other investors coming in Series B, C, and D.
Okay. Just in terms of, again, from an investment perspective, have you looked at investing in any mobile-only businesses since the growth in the mobile-only space seems to be much faster right now? And have you looked at launching mobile-only products for some of your businesses?
I think all our verticals internally are looking very seriously at mobile, and their teams working on them. Some of the apps are out, so some more will come out. As far as external investments in mobile-only business is concerned, we keep looking at plans. But, so mobile-only, thus far, there aren't too many with big revenue or big revenue prospects. And, so we've not done any so far, but we keep looking.
No, but from a product perspective, even from InfoEdge, have you looked at mobile-only as in creating a new category or creating a new type of product under the same category? So, for example, in case of education, have you looked at a product which you launch purely on mobile and see if you can tap that growth coming in?
Yeah, so, we are looking at, of course, a lot of mobile initiatives in the categories in which you're already present. So we're not looking at entering new categories and new businesses, but in the categories you're already present, we're looking at mobile. Step one was, of course, to get all our properties onto mobile and to do a basic job, which we've done, I think, a wonderful job of. Then, of course, we're looking at decoupling some of the stuff, some of the things which we have on some of our sites and doing mobile-only fusion. For example, we're looking at some innovative work in Shiksha, and the Shiksha mobile app could be very different, for example, from what we have on the site. We are also toying around with the idea of launching one or two sort of you know, sub-products or in Naukri on the mobile phone, for which we sort of, which could look very different from, you know, the website. So there's a lot of discussion going on. There's a lot of there are lots of ideas on the table. But we'll continue to. Mobile is a big area of investment for us, and we're looking at mobile very differently than the desktop. But I think you'll see probably see something in Shiksha which looks very different from the desktop very soon. And if that succeeds, maybe you know, we'll sort of do this in other categories as well.
So just on Shiksha, even. It was launched, you'd position that as a category which is possibly bigger than recruitment. But why is it that we've not seen the kind of growth? And it's over 7 years now. And as a product, what are some of the challenges that you face there?
Yeah, so, you know, of course, when we sort of launched Shiksha, we thought the market is still very big. I mean, there is, but the market is actually more fragmented than we thought it was at that time. So while the education market is large, a lot of the spending is in areas like test prep. A lot of the spending is on schools. A lot of spending is on study abroad. A lot of the spend is on, you know, UG. And you know, what we realized over time was that in each of these categories, we need to do the product a little differently. And so that is the reason why sort of Shiksha is not as large as we thought it could be. This is a learning we developed over time. And what we've done over the last 12 to 18 months is try and we're trying to do differentiated sort of offerings for each of these categories. And that's not easy. And because you have to develop a new product every time. Yeah, I mean, education on the face of it seems like a very large category. There's a lot of advertising spend, but it's also very fragmented. We figured out some categories in which we think we can do a good job, and those are the ones we are scaling up right now. And once we get to a certain size and scale, then we'll be open to sort of acquisitions in other areas or sort of doing stuff from scratch in other categories as well. But the product has to be developed a lot very differently is what we've realized over time from what we originally set out with.
So just on that, why is it that you've not looked at consolidating in some of this fragmentation through acquisition so far?
In Shiksha?
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of the properties we've looked at are very similar to what we already have, right? So there are some which are innovative, but very, very small. There are others who are doing exactly what we're doing. So, you know, while we can acquire and consolidate there, but that's not what we really want, because we believe in those categories we can do a good job ourselves. But in other areas, if there's something which is really exciting and in the space in which we operate, you know, we are open. But we haven't found too many companies like that till now.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from the line of Utkarsh Khandelwal from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to know your views on Google as a competition for Zomato.
I don't think, you know, so I think Google is a great search engine. And but, you know, in the past, it has tried to enter the classified space while being a search engine. And what we have discovered is that, look, a well-run vertical like a Naukri or a Zomato will go so deep into a vertical, will offer so many features and so much you know, rich content that ultimately the value prop of a well-executed vertical will outshine that of a horizontal. And that is why we have different brands, you know, one brand, one promise, different brands for each vertical, one for jobs, one for real estate, one for matrimony, one for education, and you know, another one for restaurant discovery. And that's our thesis, and we know thus far at least it seems to be playing out that way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments.
Well, thank you everyone for being on the call. Have a great evening and a very happy Diwali to all of you.
Thank you. On behalf of InfoEdge India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.